Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Man, hello everybody. Good to see you all. It's good to be here. Last time I preached, which feels like a lifetime ago, I introduced a new series called Indescribable, in which we're talking about the attributes of God, or what God is like. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get through this series, because we got a couple other things we're going to talk about over the next few months. But anyway, we'll see how we go. It's important to know who God is and what he is like. There are significant implications to this question of what God is like. Is he moody? Does he change his mind? Can he be manipulated or coerced through certain things that we might try to do? Does he know our thoughts? Can we hide from him? How we answer those questions is going to impact how we relate to God. But what we actually find is the more we get to know about God and what he's like, the more amazed we are, the more we want to worship him, the more we want to adore him, the more we can't help but just lift our voice in praise to him. Knowing what God is like begins to dictate the terms of how we relate to him, what he expects of us. When we know what he cares about, it begins to shape and affect our understanding of why we exist and what our purpose is. Now, I had a plan last week to preach part two, I guess, of that series, which was the God who can be known, but we're going to have to save that for another time, because today is Pentecost Sunday. Come on. Now, Pentecost Sunday, in our context, is a celebration on the Christian calendar in which we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, which was the Jewish holiday. The day of Pentecost. Clear as mud? You got that? Pentecost was a regular part of the Jewish calendar. It was an annual celebration. It was 49 days after the Passover, which makes that, what, like 7 weeks. And it was a celebration of the ingathering of a harvest. It was kind of like a Thanksgiving feast and celebration. We brought all this harvest of food. Let's give thanks to God because he is the one who is ultimately our provider. And what's interesting is that it was the day of Pentecost on the Jewish calendar, which was a big celebration. There were all these people from all over the Greek-speaking world, the Roman Empire, who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And it was there in that moment that God chose to pour out his Spirit. And so now as Christians, we celebrate that from the context of really celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But interesting that he chose a holiday that was all about bringing in a harvest. And so what we celebrate is a spiritual harvest that God wants to bring in. So we're going to talk about today the God who empowers. The God who empowers. But we're not just going to talk about it. You may have noticed that we had a little bit shorter than normal worship time because we're going to save some time at the end. We're going to talk about a few things today. But we're, like I said, not just going to talk. We are going to encounter the Holy Spirit today in power. I believe that God wants to pour out his Spirit upon us in the same way, in a similar way that he did on the day of Pentecost. And there's nothing special about the day of Pentecost, except that it's a moment for us to position ourselves and for us to have our own response of faith to lay hold of something that's there for us all the time. All right? So I'm going to read a bit of a lengthy passage of scripture. Actually, it's from the first three chapters of the book of Acts, just some selections of scripture. Is that good? We'll put it up on the screen just to make it easy for you. It was Luke who wrote the book of Acts. In this first book, O Theophilus, now he wrote Luke and Acts as kind of a letter in a sense, or a historical description to a guy named Theophilus. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Can I just say, as we're reading through this, can we not read it as something that was written thousands of years ago, but can we read this as the word of God, that which has relevance, which brings faith into the heart even here and now, so that you can lay hold of something from God today? Can we read it that way? And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Let's skip forward to chapter 2. Read the first 8 verses here. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. This was the 120 followers of Jesus at this time, after he had ascended to heaven, waiting for this promise from the Father. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Skipping down to verse 12. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. In other words, they're drunk. There was something about the way that they were acting that they were looking at them saying, they've had too much to drink. They're drunk. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice, addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. What that means is it was 9 a.m. in the morning. They're not drunk, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And then he gives this Old Testament prophecy from Joel. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Can we just receive that right now? Just let faith come into your heart. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on male servants and female servants, in these days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to be saved? All you got to do, call upon his name. Acts 2, 36, 39. We'll skip down. A couple more little bits to read here. This is Peter getting to the punchline of his sermon. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everybody who's sitting in Pneuma Perth in 2022, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Let's read one more little section. This is in Acts chapter 3. Just throw this in for good measure. Verse 17, and now, brothers, I know that you acted. This is Peter preaching a different message the next day, a couple of days later. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Look at this. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. As I said before, we're going to talk today about the God who empowers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. Father, we have been worshiping you. We've been asking you to pour out your Spirit. And Lord, that is the cry of our heart. Would you position us in this moment, Lord, to lay hold of a new level of your presence and your power? Father, we are desperate. We need you. Would you meet with us? Would you come in power upon us today? In Jesus' name, amen. My life radically changed when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had been, I think, born again about a week prior to this. I was alone in my bedroom. This was the week before that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was at this party one night. We were tripping on mushrooms, doing a lot of things we shouldn't have been doing. I know I brought up the mushrooms again. I'm sorry. I come home the next morning, and I'm alone in my bedroom, and it was like God pulled back the veil of my heart, and I, for the first time, saw my insecurity and my brokenness, and how I cared so much about what all of my other friends thought about me, and I had this revelation of, why do I care what they think about me? It was like this, like heaven opened up, and I had this realization, I'm not going to stand before my friends to give an account for my life, but I am going to stand before God. And then it was like this fear of God. And then this next kind of revelation came of, I don't know what my friends think about me, but I know that God loves me. And if I'll just turn to him, he will accept me. I don't have to wonder what God thinks about me. He loves me. Radically changed in that moment. I heard about this church from a friend of mine, and I went to go visit this church the next week, and had a powerful encounter with, the presence of God, not unlike today, presence of God. I was felt something I'd never felt before. It was a little bit awkward. It was a little bit out of my comfort zone because I hadn't been in that environment before, but man, I felt this tangible sense of God's presence. And then after the service, I'm standing at the back, and one of the pastors comes to talk to me, and I'm sharing a bit about my journey and how I ended up there. And he says, do you mind if I pray for you? I said, sure. So he lays his hands. I remember him putting his hand on my chest. And I remember that because my heart was racing. It's like I could just feel God's presence. He begins to pray over me. He begins praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. And the Holy Spirit came upon me. I just began speaking in tongues. And it was this moment that forever shaped me and changed me. Since that time, I've had many encounters with the Holy Spirit. I've found that Holy Spirit encounters tend to come often in seasons where God's people are committing themselves to prayer. We used to, when I graduated from uni, I went and did kind of this gap year leadership training program, and every Friday was Holy Spirit Day, and we would just spend the whole day just praying in the Spirit, laying hands upon one another, praying for one another, and I had powerful, life-changing Holy Spirit encounters. in those moments. Why does God want to encounter us in these ways? Because God does not call us and then leave us on our own. He is the God who empowers. He empowers his people. Holy Spirit empowerment is not just for a select few people who are really serious about following Jesus. What happened on the day of Pentecost? And what did Jesus say before that? He said, do not even try to take this message to the world until I pour out my Spirit upon you, until the promise of the Father comes. There is a power from heaven that will come that will fill you and anoint you and empower you to take my message to the world. But until then, just wait. It's not just for a select few. God's empowerment is for every single believer, every follower of Jesus. If we are not walking in power, then there is something wrong. There is something that we are to lay hold of. We cannot fulfill our God-given calling apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And so why exactly do we need the Holy Spirit's power? What does the Holy Spirit empower us to do? I want to give you quickly three things, and then we're going to talk about how to receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome sinful desires. Notice in all the passages that we read before, there is this one initial step that gets repeated. This one initial step that essentially opens the door to receive the Holy Spirit. It opens the door to God's power in our lives, and that is repentance. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent. He said, if you will repent, be baptized, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3, repent therefore and turn back to God that your sins may be blotted out. God's empowerment begins with repentance. Repentance literally means a change of mind. It means a change of heart. It's like this repentance acknowledges that I have sinned against a holy God. It was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. That was what convicted all of those people that day. They realized we were the ones that crucified Jesus. And so repentance is sort of like taking sides with God against yourself. It's that initial moment of recognizing, I need to be made right with God. There is something separating me from God. And so when we first repent and we put our trust in Jesus, we are born again. We're brought into the kingdom of God. Old things pass away and new things come. We become God's child. And so if you're not yet God's child today, then there's a very simple pathway. Repent, turn from your life of sin, and place your trust in Jesus. Jesus is the one way to the Father, the only mediator between God and man. This is what I did that morning, alone in my bedroom after the party the night before. That moment of repentance for me. But that was not the last time that I needed to repent. Repentance is not just a one-time thing. It's something that we come back to over and over again. I've shared this story before, but might as well just share it again because it helps to illustrate this need for ongoing repentance. One of the things that I was looking to as my source of escape was getting high. So I would say 18 months before I came to Christ, probably every single day of my life, I was smoking weed. And I had this encounter with Jesus alone in my bedroom, and I essentially knew that submission to the lordship of Jesus for me in this moment meant that that can no longer be a part of your life. You can't go and worship at that altar anymore. I want you to look to me as the one who will bring healing to you, and look to me as the one who will meet that need that you were trying to meet in that thing that was bringing an escape. And so that was, I knew that couldn't be a part of my life anymore. But a couple days later, one of my buddies come over to my house with his new homegrown bud of marijuana, and he says, "Hey man, I came over to get you high." And I was like, "Man, I'm not doing that anymore because I'm serving Jesus." He's like, "Really, man? That's crazy. Yeah, I had this whole spiritual awakening in my life, but come on in, man. You know, let's hang out." So he comes upstairs. We're hanging out in my bedroom and just chilling. And I'm like, "But you know," I'm like, "Man, if you want to get high, it's fine. Don't let me stop you." Mistake number one. So then he does, and I'm like kind of looking at it and smelling it and kind of getting a little bit curious. And I was like, "Hey, man, let me just have a little taste of that." He was like, "Are you sure, man?" I say, "Oh, yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool. Just a little taste." So I did. And let's just say that I felt the way that I used to feel. And he left. But guess who showed up? The Holy Spirit came. And he essentially said, "Son, that cannot be a part of your life anymore if you're going to serve me." And as I've shared before, I only got high one more time after that on the Friday night after work. But then I had this powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I still remember the moment when I am driving home after visiting the church, hands laid upon me. I receive the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm driving home from church. And I just had this, felt this power and this release to say, "Jesus, I will never smoke weed again for the rest of my life." There was a freedom that came from me through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes to do what? To help us, to empower us to overcome our sinful desires. God wants to take us, and some of us today, to a new level of freedom through Holy Spirit encounter. I love this verse, Galatians 5. So I say, this is actually a couple of verses in Galatians 5. So I say, "Walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." What is it that you need freedom from today? The Holy Spirit wants to come and replace the old sinful desires with new desires for purity and for holiness. Amazing things started to happen as when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm following Jesus, I began to have new desires. The things that, the impurities, the immorality, the lust, the things, the images that I was looking at, they were no longer pleasurable. There was this feeling that, no, that can't be a part of your life. I want to honor God. I want to live in a way that brings pleasure to God. I want to please Him with my life. I believe God wants to bring a Holy Spirit encounter today that will set us free from things that have gripped our lives. A new level of freedom. A new level of deliverance. There might even be condemnation that you felt. There might even be things that have weighed your life down, and the enemy continues to try to remind you of those things and try to get you to identify yourself with those things. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring a new revelation of His acceptance, His forgiveness. He wants to drive condemnation out of our lives. Second, the Holy Spirit empowers us to keep going in difficult times. Who knows, following Jesus is not going to be a walk in the park. There are so many places in Scripture that talk about the challenges, the difficulties. Go ahead and expect it, Scripture says. Count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. We're told over and over, from Jesus, we're going to face opposition. There are going to be people who don't like us. Anybody who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus is going to, you're going to experience persecution. Difficult times might come from family members that oppose us, or from demonic powers, or from intense seasons of temptation. Have you ever been in a season? I just came out of one where it seems like things that you got had victory over. There was just a new level of demonic assault on the mind, trying to bring temptation. Sometimes even God allows or creates scenarios because he wants to purify us. I love that passage that we just read. Repent, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Have you been going through a difficult season? It's been a difficult time. God wants to bring a refreshing today. This is one of the most significant things I felt praying into today. God wants to bring a supernatural refreshing into our hearts, because the Holy Spirit empowers us to keep going in difficult times. One of the most difficult seasons of my young Christian life I can remember was when my dad died. I was 25 years old. My dad was 48. He had a heart attack at 48 years old. I went and saw his dead body at the hospital. I didn't even get to see him alive. I saw him the night before when he was in the hospital. And I go, and there's his body in the room, and it was the most surreal experience. And then my pastor's there, and by noon, I'm picking out a casket. And it was, you know, it was the most surreal day. I come home, and I just sit down on the couch, and I didn't have anywhere else to turn except to the one in heaven whom I know is my source in difficult times. And I opened up the Psalms, and I just began to read. And the presence of God filled that room. A time of refreshing entered my life. And that season of grief and mourning the loss of my dad, I knew the presence of God unlike any other time I had known him before in my life. He draws near to us in times of refreshing so we can keep going in difficult times. But before moving here to plant this church, God was taking us through a season of transition where in our business, we had like all the leads started drying up. The new business wasn't coming, and the runway of finances and money in the bank was getting shorter. And there was so much financial pressure in this season. I was like, and I remember once getting this prophetic word. I'm like, God, you got to speak to me. But at this guy, I'm at this meeting, and he comes and prophesies over me. He says, you're going to be tempted to get a 9-to-5 job. Don't do it. Stay the course. And I'm like, that is the stupidest word I've ever heard. That was the last thing I wanted to hear in that moment. Because I'm thinking, I need stability. I need to go get a job. But God is saying, no, I want you to stay the course in this difficult time because I've got you. I didn't know that God was going to call us to Perth to plant a church. I couldn't have transitioned to plant this church if I had a 9-to-5 job. It was through the business that God wanted to provide for me. It was like the daily provision he wanted to bring in that season of transition that brought us to this point. But I can remember the times of refreshing that would come. Man, I remember coming into services. We'd go to the 5 p.m. They called it the Generation Service at City Location Numa in Melbourne. And I remember just singing this song, "In the Darkest Night, You Will Light It Up." And I just waves of God's presence and just weeping and just refreshing in the presence of God. I could not have made it through that season if it wasn't for moments like that. Holy Spirit comes. He empowers us to keep going in difficult times. Man, I don't know about you, but I wasn't too happy about that word Steve McCracken brought last. I mean, all my troubles began when Steve McCracken came to town on that first weekend of May a few weeks ago. He had this prophetic word about, the church is a melting pot, and he's coming to heat things up, and he's coming to bring the dross to the surface. And you know, I there was no hallelujah and amen for me in that moment. I was like, oh my, what's about to happen? And I will tell you, I'll kid you not, the last weeks, yeah, we went through COVID, but there was a spiritual battle amidst all of that like I have not faced in a long time. But I was telling somebody before, it lit a fire under me, and we're going to just get ready. We're going to be talking about faith and God's responsibility and call upon us to believe, because you go through difficult times and he brings refreshing, but he also brings revelation of what's lacking in the foundation. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I don't know what your last month was like, but God wants to bring a refreshing from heaven today. He wants to bring joy where there has been sorrow. He wants to bring peace where there has been anxiety. He wants to bring love and forgiveness and a revelation of his righteousness and who you are in Christ where there perhaps has been feelings of condemnation and separation from God. And so if you need a touch from God, today is your day. If you need refreshing from heaven, today is your day. When we cry out to him in our weakness, man, he reveals himself to us. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's in our brokenness when we cry out to him that he meets us. Third, finally, this is really what Pentecost was all about. The Holy Spirit empowers us to boldly tell people about Jesus, the only one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one, the only mediator between God and man. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And I love this verse, Acts 1:8, we read, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Why? What's the point of the power? "You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." There's a prophetic word that was brought during our prayer time that God wants to bring deliverance today from a spirit of fear. You know how that deliverance comes? It comes in part by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit giving us a boldness and an authority to preach, to tell others about Jesus. We saw it in Peter's life. Remember Peter? He was the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost. But what was he doing for, 50 days or whatever earlier? What was he doing? He was denying Jesus to a servant girl. Remember the story of denying Jesus three times? He had a spirit of fear upon him, but he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and set free. God wants to set us free. Have you been a little bit timid sharing Jesus with others? The answer is Holy Spirit baptism. This is the only way that the kingdom of God advances. Whether we like it or not, as followers of Jesus, he has called us to be his witnesses. He has called us to be the ones through whom he would invite others into relationship with him. This was the ultimate point of Pentecost. Pentecost was not about the encounter. Pentecost was not about the day. Pentecost was about outpouring of the Holy Spirit to empower the church to take the message to the very ends of the earth. Pentecost was about the next 2,000 years up to today. Pentecost was about empowering the people of God to boldly tell people about Jesus. You know, in our selfishness, we tend to make our pursuit of Jesus about ourselves. It's about my needs being met. It's about me getting closer to Jesus. But do you know there's a new level of breakthrough that comes when we begin to get our eyes off of ourselves? We begin to bring the names of other people who don't know God before him and offer them up in prayer, crying out to God, "Would you save these people? Would you save my friends? Would you save my family?" When we get our eyes off of ourselves, there's a new level of intimacy. Man, when we get about the Father's business, there is a new level of connection with God. There is a new level of open heaven that he brings. When I was first born again, I didn't want any part of this. I showed up at that church. I just wanted to sit in the back. Don't ask me to prophesy. Don't put a mic in my hand. Don't ask me to give a testimony. I'm just showing up. I just want to get right with God, and I want my sins to be forgiven, and then I want to go live a nice, comfortable life. Is that cool? Jesus said, nope, that is not cool. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden, I find that, like, God's sending me to my friend's house, and I'm sharing with them my story. I'm just sharing Jesus with people. Put me in these very uncomfortable situations, doing things that I would never previously do. Where did this come from? Baptism in the Holy Spirit. God empowers us to tell others about him. Can we have the worship team come back up? I just want to very quickly, just to prepare our hearts, just understanding, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Have I convinced you we need new levels of Holy Spirit today? How do we receive? What's our part? We can't just passively sit here. The disciples on the day of Pentecost, they weren't passive. They had been in that upper room praying for the last previous week, waiting, crying out to God. So what's our part? Number one, this is easy. Just ask. If you want a new level of Holy Spirit power, just ask. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Maybe even just right now, just pray a prayer in your heart. Father, I am hungry for your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you give to me your Holy Spirit? I want you to possess me with your Holy Spirit. Will you fill me? I open my heart to you. Holy Spirit, would you come? Father, give us your Holy Spirit. Second, have hands laid upon you. Most often in Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit is imparted through the laying on of hands. There's a transfer from someone who has Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes and immerses in his presence. We see this in Acts 8:18. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. How was the Spirit given? Through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Doesn't have to be me laying hands upon you. Could be someone else who is trusted, who is Spirit-filled. We're going to have a moment. Lay hands upon to receive. Which brings us to number three. We receive his power. We receive it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, this is an interesting Greek word here, receive. It's lambano. You know, we kind of think about receive as something kind of passive, like I'm going to put my hands out and just receive. But this word lambano, this Greek word, means to aggressively lay hold of something. It's to, no, this is mine, I'm going to lay hold of it. There's an intensity. There's no passivity. There's like an aggressive faith. God, you promised me, Holy Spirit, I'm going to receive your power. I'm going to receive a new level of power today. And then finally, begin to speak in tongues. I believe there's some today that God wants to bring a new prayer language into your walk with him. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who spoke? They did. Where did the utterance come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. God's not going to just take over your mouth and you go into a trance and no. Open up your mouth. Begin to speak. Often you'll feel like this kind of something bubbling up or like just so full that you just got to let it out. Just begin to speak. Let that new prayer language come out. There's a few more for you, for good measure. Acts 10, this was Peter preaching to some unbelievers. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised, the Jews who had come with Peter, they were amazed. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know? For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. One more in Acts 19. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul did what? Laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Who knows? Maybe not only will you speak in tongues, maybe there'll even be a prophetic grace that'll come upon you today. prophesy. We can only follow Jesus effectively and consistently through the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to overcome sinful desires. He empowers us to keep going in difficult times. He empowers us to boldly tell others about Him. Can we stand to our feet? Let's lift our hands. God's word has come. Faith has come into our hearts. There's a new hunger, a new recognition of our need, a new desperation for Holy Spirit baptism. Father, we thank You that Your Spirit does not need to be conjured up. You said that You inhabit the praises of Your people. And so in this moment, Father, we're going to turn our hearts towards You. We're going to lift our voice in praise. We're going to lift our voice in worship. And we believe, Lord, that You are going to come in a greater measure than any that we've ever known before. Holy Spirit, we invite You to come. Fill us afresh in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.